This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. The nonpartisan San Luis Obispo County League of Women Voters is taking a stand on the proposed Phillips 66 oil train project. The organization says it shares the deep concerns of many in the community regarding safety issues. Neil Havlick is the retired natural resources manager for the city of San Luis Obispo. He also serves as an advisor on certain land use issues in the county for the league and helped craft the league's letter of concern. He joins us in studio now to explain a bit about how the league came to its position on this controversial project. And welcome, Neil Havlick, to Issues and Ideas.
Great. Thank you.
First off, I guess some people may not know, men are a part of the League of Women Voters.
That's right. I never cease to be amazed by the fact that I can get up in front of a group representing the league and say, well, I'm a member. I always kind of say, well, I'm missing, a fundamental qualification, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Some years ago, the league decided that it was appropriate to allow for male members. I don't know when or what the procedure was, but that is now the case, and we have a number of male members of our local chapter.
Certain people listening right now follow the Phillips 66 plans very closely. Others may have no idea what we're talking about. It is a spur, a rail spur, as I understand, that will allow an increased number of trains to access the Phillips 66 refinery just west of Nipomo called the Santa Maria Refinery. Is that right?
Yes. Basically, the project, as it is envisioned locally, would involve some new spur tracks where basically tank cars could be parked and their contents emptied and taken into the refinery. It's supposed to be about a mile to a mile and a quarter of new track. I'm not certain of the configuration or anything like that, but that's the local issue. What has really caused a lot more concern is the fact that this would permit a greatly increased arrival and delivery of oil via rail and the source of that oil, which it has been at least suggested that some would be coming from the Bakken fields in North Dakota and some might be coming from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada.
And there's concern specifically with those because of their explosive qualities?
Yes and no. The Bakken crude is said to be one of the more volatile ones, and it just has to do with the makeup of the actual crude oil. It will have different percentages of different constituents, and so some is more volatile and some is less. The tar sands, as you might imagine, are probably less volatile, having a higher degree of tarry-like material. But in order to get that to flow, materials are added to the oil, and that is what leads to the increased volatility. And so the end result is you have these two major new sources of oil that are that have this material that is relatively volatile. Combined with that is the fact that, as you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, the United States has greatly increased its own oil production, largely from the Bakken fields in North Dakota. And through other mechanisms such as oil shale fracturing or fracking, as it's called. And the result of that has been a tremendous increase in shipments of oil by rail. The result of that is that every available tank car is being pressed into service. And many of these cars are older and lack the safety features of more recently constructed cars. The rules are changing. Safety rules, of course, get sort of tighter all the time. But older cars are not prohibited from being on the tracks. And we've been told that it's anywhere from 20 to 30 times an increase in the flow of oil by rail car in the past 2 to 3 years. And so there has been a tremendous increase in that, you know, the number, the incidence of rail traffic with tank cars, and as a result, accidents, whether percentages have changed or not, I don't know. But with a tremendously increased number of cars and trains, there's been an increase in accidents as well. And some of them have been pretty bad.
Would these shipments primarily come from the north along the rail lines that head up into the Bay Area, or would they primarily come from the south along the Santa Barbara coast into LA, or would it be a mix?
I'm assuming it would be a mix. And there probably would be oil from other locations as well that would come. You know, what has happened is that this has really superseded, in my judgment, the concerns about the local construction of the rails, you know, disturbance of vegetation, grading, those kinds of things. The local impacts, well, they're there and they can be enumerated, and some of them are considered non-mitigable, such as the increase in vapor escape and things like that that could occur. They're still localized. What has really created the tremendous furor is the unknown increase in quantity, although it's been estimated, and the source of these materials. I expect most of it would be coming from the north, but there is nothing to say that there isn't stuff that might be coming up and shipped through Los Angeles or through the Los Angeles area.
And when you're shipping from the north, that means the shipments will be coming down the Cuesta Grade.
That is correct.
And that's one of the big concerns
that's
locally.
Right. That's right. It's a very windy stretch of rail. It's fairly steep. And it was one of the last sections of the actual railroad ever constructed in this area, and there's a reason for that. and so there are some concerns. There's concerns about the safety of the turns, things like that. There's two places up on the Cuesta called the Horseshoe Curve. There's Horseshoe and Little Horseshoe, which attest to how windy it is. A number of short tunnels, and then the bridge over Stenner Creek, or the trestle over Stenner Creek, which is, when it was built in 1894, it was one of the engineering wonders of the world. But it's a steel plate and rivet construction. And I guess the thought that occurred to me was, well, you know, when it was built in 1912, the Titanic was one of the engineering wonders of the world, and it was steel plate and rivet construction. And steel plate and rivet, they can age, they can crack, they can become brittle. Things can happen. And so there is some concern about that. And we don't know about other bridges. There are bridges over San Luis Obispo Creek, Arroyo Grande Creek, Pismo Creek,
And then any number of those
other
along
channels.
The Coast.
Yes, and that's just to mention the ones locally.
What sort of blast zone, potential blast zone, would we be talking about if a car were to topple on that stretch coming down the Cuesta Grade? It could reach the city?
The usual rule of thumb, if that, for lack of a better term, is about a mile. And obviously, you know, in San Luis Obispo County, we have a lot of open space. And so perhaps there's not as much as if you were, you know, a train was running through the Los Angeles area, certainly. But we have not only the potential in those areas where the rails do go through urban areas, but we also have a lot of sensitive habitat areas. Part of the local water supplies and things like that might be affected, and as well as plant and animal species. A break and an explosion and fire up in Stenner Creek Canyon, I don't think would be very pleasant for anybody.
I think some people may be surprised to hear the League of Women Voters are taking a position on something given their nonpartisan status. How does the local chapter choose when to take a stand on a specific topic?
I would say, you know, this has been only the second major thing that I've really advised on. I think it simply is comes up from the grassroots, really. I don't think there is some sort of set guideline or set rule that says, gee, we want to step into everything. For example, the league took no position on the recent Las Palitas Quarry discussions. The league held and this was my last major involvement with them, it was some years ago, a major presentation, panel discussion about the issue of fracking. We chose not to actually take an take a position, although it's possible, and I don't know this, that the state organization may have taken a position on it. Our local group did not. On this one, it's just that many members were hearing from friends and neighbors. We were seeing what was going on in the newspaper and felt it was appropriate at this in this instance to speak up. I was asked to research the matter, and I would say I did it from 30,000 feet. I didn't get down and try to do number crunching or anything like that, because the issue in our minds appeared to really be the question of safety and how can one ensure safety to the greatest degree possible. There has been discussion in the national press and in magazines like Time Magazine and like that, that have said one of the best things you can do is slow down. And it's interesting. Just the other day, I was coming up from Santa Barbara on the train, and there was a little fire. It was a grass fire. It was not very big by the railroad tracks near the Gaviota Pass, and the train had to stop. And then they were allowed to go forward, but on a go-slow order for 10 miles. And it took us an hour to go for those 10 miles, and we were over an hour late getting into San Luis Obispo. So obviously there is a recognition that slowing down will be safer. And so that's one issue. The other is the safety of the trackage, particularly the bridges and things like that. The question is can the Board of Supervisors – of San Luis Obispo County mandate those kind of requirements of the railroad?
That's a good question, and I want to read a portion from the letter here that was that you helped craft. We're speaking with Neil Havlick. He is the retired natural resources manager for the city of San Luis Obispo, and he serves as an advisor on certain land use issues in San Luis Obispo County for the League of Women Voters. And the letter that was crafted says, the serious safety issues raised by the far-reaching impact of this project require the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors insist upon full and enforceable mitigation of these risks before approving the project. And enforceable is a key word in that sentence.
That's right. There is question. I mean, this is interstate commerce, and it may very well be that the Board of Supervisors or the Planning Commission may have no authority to say, well, we are going to ask you for a speed limit for these trains in San Luis Obispo County. And you can kind of understand it. Maybe if they did, every county might ask for its own speed limits. You don't know. Likewise, the same is true of the maintenance of the right-of-way. This may be a situation there is a term for it, which I can't think of right now, but it's basically outside the jurisdiction of a local agency. And so if that can't be done, then it's kind of meaningless to say, well, you know, we'll okay this if you'll go 35 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour or whatever the speed would be and check all these bridges and do all this other stuff. The railroad may agree to do that, but there may or may not be any way to actually enforce it. And so the board of the league took the position that if this was really not possible, then there may not be any way to enforce these safety concerns for the community. And in that case, it might be the best to simply deny the project.
Phillip 66 has told us on several occasions when contacted to comment on this project that the company is waiting until the final EIR, Environmental Impact Report, is released to say anything. The San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission has told us there is no scheduled date for that just yet. Given what you know about this project, is that a fair position for Phillips 66 to take, given the growing number of communities and organizations like your own that have expressed concern?
Well, I would say it's probably a common position. You sort of wait and say, well, let's wait until all the facts are in and all the opinions have been expressed, and then we'll deal with it. And sometimes that results in a change to the project, and sometimes it does not. It kind of depends on the organization, how they feel about their project, how tied in they are to the givens of it. It may also have to do with the flexibility of the leadership. I have seen projects that have gone through many revisions as they move forward, and as things come up, attempts are made to accommodate some of those concerns. Sometimes that works and makes things better for the proponents, and sometimes it doesn't. So, in some situations, the sponsors will just say, no, we're going to wait, and then we'll deal with everything at one time. Others may say, well, you know, we would do this. In this case, the safety concern, it's like just hearing one side of the story over and over and over again. People are kind of waiting for a response, and it may be detrimental to the company to not say something. So I don't know.
For your research purposes, did you rely on the draft EIR, or were you able to speak directly to Phillips 66?
No, I had really reviewed in not great detail the EIR, and I'd actually was more aware of the earlier one, which is interesting. I had thought that I was kind of going, well, what's the big deal? This is just a railroad spur. But the issue isn't about the railroad spur. The issue is the safety of the community because of the source and the number of these trains and their makeup and their safety, if you will, age of the tank cars and things like that, that are not really directly related to the construction of this yard. So the issues are in some ways are outside of the environmental impact report, and the league board felt it was probably time for us to say something. We were not certain of the schedule but felt it was appropriate to at least make the point about safety.
Neil Havlick with the San Luis Obispo County League of Women Voters and the letter of concern that he helped draft regarding the Phillips 66 oil train project. Thank you so much for joining us here on Issues and Ideas.
Thank you.
And I'm Randall White. You are listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.